From WAMU 88.5 at American University in Washington, welcome to the Politics Hour starring Tom Sherwood. I'm Kojo Namdi. The road to the Democratic nomination for Maryland's open seat in the United States Senate comes through this broadcast today, and there's a lot at stake in this race, from national security to the health of our transportation infrastructure to the livelihood of federal workers. We've invited the two leading candidates in this race, the ones above 10% in public polls, to debate. On today's show, they both represent Maryland in the U.S. House, Donna Edwards and Chris Van Hollen. Congresswoman Edwards, welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be with
you. Congressman Van Hollen, welcome.
It's great to be with you.
Well, before we get to the fun part, I'd like to spell out a few rules of the road. We'd like to keep this conversational, but here goes. Each candidate will have 2 minutes to respond to questions asked to them by Tom, myself, and by listeners who recorded questions for this event before the show. We will then allow for one-minute responses on the same topic before we move on. We have a timekeeper in our studio who will hold up a yellow piece of paper when you've got 15 seconds left and a red piece of paper when it's time for you to wrap up your comments, Tom. And of course, if the conversation warrants it, we may allow ourselves to break these rules from time to time to let the exchange go where it needs to go. If you're following along on Twitter and you want to weigh in, we've got a hashtag for today's show, hashtag KojoDebate. You can also follow the streaming video of the debate at kojoshow.org. Tom Sherwood, of course, is our resident analyst. He's a reporter for NBC4 and a columnist for the current newspapers. Now, let's do this. Each candidate will give a one-minute opening statement. Chris Van Hollen won a coin toss yesterday. You go first.
Well, it's great to be here, and thanks, everybody, for listening. This is an important election. And it's about delivering real results for hardworking Maryland families. That's what I've been doing since my first days in the Maryland legislature, when I teamed up with Maryland Moms to beat the NRA and pass gun safety legislation, worked with the watermen to prohibit oil drilling around the Chesapeake Bay, and with PTAs to boost funds for Maryland schools. And I've taken those fights to Washington. Just this week, I once again led the fight to protect Social Security and Medicare against Tea Party budget cuts. So I know when to fight. I also know when to find common ground, because we can't allow division in Washington to block all progress for working families. Look, I've never believed it's enough to just vote a certain way or only be a voice. Like Senator Mikulski, I'm focused on real results for Maryland families, and that's the difference in this race.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Well, thank you very much for the conversation. You know, Maryland's got a lot going for it. Great historically black colleges, universities, a growing research and technology sector. But for too many Marylanders, they're falling outside of the middle class or having a hard time staying in the middle class. And I know something about that struggle as a single mom. And I'm running for the United States Senate because I want to fight for the worker who needs a paid day off when a child gets sick and they need a day off. I want to fight for a young woman who doesn't understand why in this day and age she's being paid 78 cents on the dollar, and for the workers who go to work every single day and want to earn a living wage, and for that young kid who messed up and just wants to make it right. These are the people I fight for seniors, for veterans, and I want to continue that fight from the House into the United States Senate.
The record show they both came in under the one-minute deadline. It's been said that this is a contest between two candidates who agree on 99% of the relevant issues. What would you say differentiates you from the person you're running against? First you, Congresswoman Edwards.
Well, I think that I represent a unique voice in the House, and I will in the United States Senate. And frankly, when it came time to really fight for Social Security and Medicare, my opponent said he was willing to consider cuts under the context of Simpson-Bowles in a budget agreement to Social Security and Medicare. And I stood up against that. And although he's moved his position now, that wasn't his position then. He's, you know, supported 9 of the last 11 trade deals that have come through that have traded jobs away, 70,000 jobs, Maryland manufacturing jobs lost over the last two decades. Mr. Van Hollen has shown a willingness to cave to the National Rifle Association in a campaign finance bill that he was supporting. I think it's time that Maryland's middle-class families deserve someone who's a voice just like Senator Mikulski, fighting for the middle class and unwilling to compromise when it comes to our principles.
Well, Kodjo, Marylanders deserve the truth, so I'm glad we're having this conversation because Ms. Edwards has not been telling Maryland voters the truth. And I hope we'll go into all these issues, but I've been leading the fight against cuts to Social Security. In fact, the head of the Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare has said I've been their savior. I have a 100% rating from the Alliance for Retired Americans. The reality is that the greatest risk for Social Security came a couple years ago in a vote where Ms. Edwards joined the Tea Party to allow us to default on our debts, which she has said herself would put Social Security beneficiaries and Medicare beneficiaries at great risk. She voted with the Tea Party. I voted with Senator Mikulski to make sure we protected it. I have been leading the fight against the NRA, and I'm the only candidate here, only candidate who has taken on the NRA and won, and I'm the only candidate who's introduced bills in Congress to do something about it rather than just talk about it. You know, Ms. Edwards in this race is not running on her record. The Washington Post recently indicated what we all know, which is that her office is, quote, notorious for failing to provide constituent services. Now she's asking to represent more people. She just shut down her office, her constituent office in Anne Arundel County. NASA employees who felt that they'd been discriminated against on pay because of race came to her. She ignored them. Her county executive, Rashern Baker, has said, I'm the only candidate in this race who can deliver results for Prince George's County. And if you talk to people who live in the area of Prince George's County that we both represented, the mayors of those towns are supporting me in this race. Why is that? Because I help with public safety, with transportation, delivering real results. So it's interesting that Ms. Edwards is not running on her record. A lot of rhetoric, but no results, no record.
You each get 1 minute to respond.
I began my career in the United States House of Representatives delivering on my record and my record of supporting after-school suppers for children who were going hungry, children in Mr. Van Hollen's current congressional district. And when I delivered that, that meant that tens of thousands of students, millions of meals have been served to Maryland students. In fact, Governor Martin O'Malley gave me a commendation for delivering after-school suppers in the summer that I first came into Congress. I've delivered results when it comes to health care, making sure that health insurance companies were held accountable for unjustified rate increases, saving Maryland consumers $66 million just this year. I've delivered when it comes to individuals, people like Leona in my district who needed Social Security benefits, and I delivered those to her. Homeowners who were losing their homes, a child who was who had a brain tumor and his father lost his job, and I saved their home. And so I challenge Mr. Van Hollen any day on the benefits that I've delivered to working families, to seniors, disability, to veterans.
Mr. Van Hollen, 1 minute.
Well, look, I've seen Ms. Edwards send out communications to her constituents saying she supported legislation that helped businesses hire more people who'd been long-term unemployed when she didn't even vote for that legislation. Look, I've been part of a team that helped President Obama passed the Affordable Care Act. That was tough to pass. We passed the Wall Street Reform Bill. We passed the Economic Recovery Bill. I've worked on a bipartisan basis to get historic funding to protect the Chesapeake Bay, to help families and kids with cancer, to help people with disabilities, to help prevent the government shutdown just last fall. So I've been able to work across party lines and also take on the fights to get real stuff done. And again, just have to ask the county executive of Prince George's County, Ms. Edwards' own county executive, as well as a majority of the elected officials in Prince George's County who say, I'm the person who can help get things done right in Prince George's County. These are people who have worked with both of us, and these are people who can testify to results.
Well, let's follow that up, Congresswoman Edwards. He has been endorsed by Rashern Baker, Ike Leggett, at Baltimore City council members, Baltimore County people. You've dismissed that by saying more that you're an outsider. You'd bring a fresh voice, a different voice, an African-American woman, single mother's voice. He does have a huge amount of money, more than you, that he has raised. It's not outside like Emily's list for you. He has a lot of endorsements. Why shouldn't people consider that, his long record in the elective politics, so that he has the experience to do the job at the most troubling time?
2 minutes.
Well, I mean, it's such
which
a,
is an argument for yourself, of course.
It's such a great question, because I think that it is no surprise to me that the political establishment endorses the political establishment.
Rashawn Baker
is
political establishment.
It is no surprise to me at all. And I'll tell you this, I have the support of the majority of the Prince George's County Council, people who I've worked with on the ground delivering services and support to the residents of Prince George's and Anne Arundel County. And by the way, I provide services every day to Anne Arundel County. I just don't have an office that is open. And those we deliver services every single day to Anne Arundel and Prince George's County, and I did when I was in Montgomery County. The fact is that I have the support of local elected officials all across our state, and we're proud of that. But endorsements don't win elections. And, you know, I have to say I was really deeply disturbed when the president of our Senate endorsed Mr. Van Hollen, saying that he was born to the job. Well, in the United States of America, no one is anointed and born to any job. I'm the daughter of a military service member who served this nation for 30 years, and the mother of someone who grew up in the clay dirt of North Carolina. And I had to earn my way to Wake Forest University, the first person in my family to go to school. I had to earn my way at Lockheed to head NASA's one of NASA's Space Lab projects. I had to earn my way to law school, taking my bar exam, my bar review on a blanket in a park because I couldn't afford the bar classes and daycare at the same time. I have walked in the shoes of the people that I hope to represent, and I represent their interests, and it doesn't matter to me that the political establishment has lined up its support behind somebody who they believe was born to the job.
Before he responds, you have a compelling life story. I don't think anyone doubts that. It's Heather Mazier, who ran for in 2014, has endorsed him, though, and she was an outside candidate. She ran against the establishment, and she says he's better at this job than you would be.
1 minute.
Well, you know, I
mean,
have to tell you,
cherry pick, look, all these endorsements.
Let me
and that's
just
the only
tell you,
one,
we could
you
go through one endorsement or the other. I have the endorsement of, you know, a broad range of labor unions, workers who know that I have worked hard for them. And, you know, Mr. Van Hollen likes to trade on those endorsements. And the fact of the matter is, we have a Democrat in Annapolis right now if endorsements mattered. What matters is the endorsement of people that I've worked for and that I have served both inside and outside of the House of Representatives and on the leadership team in the House of Representatives as well. Mr. Van Hollen is not the only one at this table who's in leadership.
Let's go to Mr. Van Hollen. In an anti-establishment year, an outsider versus insider, you are an insider. You there's just no way to get around that. Why isn't the outside appeal working? David Maronis wrote in the Post just this week, there's anger everywhere in America. Wow. And there's anger at the people who are in positions of power. You're in one of those positions.
Well, it's interesting.
2 minutes.
It's interesting, Tom. Ms. Edwards just finished her comment by saying she was part of the leadership team. The issue is what you've actually done and delivered for the people of Maryland in that capacity. And this is a false narrative trying to dismiss these endorsements as establishment versus non-establishment. Look, I've been endorsed by the SEIU in Maryland. This is the organization on the cutting edge of fighting for working families, for janitors, for people who work in hospitals. They were largely responsible for electing Ms. Edwards in 2008. They're endorsing me in this race because they said they felt betrayed because Ms. Edwards wasn't there when it came time to fight. Just like so many of her constituents aren't getting constituent service in an office that's, quote, notorious for lack of constituent service.
Who are you
Casa
quoting?
De Maryland,
who are you quoting? With
Washington Post. Okay. In their endorsement of me, talked about many of the things we've delivered. With respect to Casa de Maryland, hardly an establishment organization. This is a grassroots organization fighting for immigrants' rights. We both have the same voting record when it comes to comprehensive immigration reform. But I've been out there in the trenches fighting to get it done, as well as fighting for immigrants right here in Maryland. The Sierra Club, Last time in the governor's race, they endorsed the progressive standard bearer, Heather Mazur. Hardly an establishment organization. They're supporting me, as is Heather Mazur. Now, the difference in this race is between progressives who are focused on getting things done, and those are Maryland progressives and Maryland progressive groups, versus some of the Hollywood progressives who have been chiming up for Ms. Edwards. But if you're a progressive who's interested in getting things done, you've been supporting me in this race in Maryland, because when it came time to actually deliver results on the ground in places like Prince George's County, the port towns, which we both represented, I was there helping build community centers, helping get funds for public safety, helping get funds for transportation. And Ms. Edwards was not there, and that's why she's not running on her record here.
Glad you brought that up. By the way, you can watch the live video stream of this debate at our website, kojoshow.org. Glad you brought up the issue of progressives, because this question for you, Donna Edwards, how does what's happening in the presidential race right now inform the kind of senator you want to be for Maryland? There's this big debate in your party about the politics of practicality, of getting things done, as opposed to the politics of pursuing a truly progressive agenda.
Well, I'm proud of my progressive record.
And how do you define progressive?
I'm proud of my progressive record in the United States House of Representatives, and I'll be proud of it in the Senate, fighting for workers and for women who want equal pay, and fighting for child care for people who are struggling with a third of their income being paid in child care. Look, this is about workers. I've been endorsed by the Unite HERE, the hotel workers, the Teamsters, the electricians, the transportation workers. Workers, the Weather Service workers, a whole host of workers all throughout Maryland who represent the interests of working people. And the reason that they have endorsed me, the machinists have endorsed me, is because I've stood with them on trade. I've stood with them fighting against people like Mr. Van Hollen, who want to trade jobs away from Maryland and from the United States at the expense of workers. I mean, just look at Mr. Van Hollen's record on trade. It wasn't until he got into this race that he announced that he was opposed to fast track and to the Trans-Pacific Partnership. And he waited until then. Workers were begging him to come out and fight with them. I've been part of the working group on the Trans-Pacific Partnership, trying to make it a better deal for American workers. And Mr. Van Hollen was nowhere to be found since 2010. And so I think that this really is about a fight for working people. And it's about a voice, and it's about a different perspective in the United States Senate. Look, there are 100 senators. There are 20 women. There's one woman of color. It is about time that we had a unique perspective.
Just a quick follow-up before I invoke Mr. Van Hollen. You seem to be suggesting that there is a false distinction between the practicality of politics and the pure progressive agenda.
Well, I think that they are one. I think it's really important to, you know, I remember negotiating a NASA authorization through the House of Representatives. I didn't trade away my principles fighting for earth science so that we could look at climate change. Instead, I fought until the end until we could get it and pass it in a bipartisan fashion on Social Security. Unlike Mr. Van Hollen, I was not willing to trade away hard-earned benefit of Social Security just to cut a deal. I think that the American people and Marylanders are tired of career politicians willing to trade away our principles and our values just to cut a deal or to make a headline or to get their name on something. They need somebody who's going to go in there and fight for them and fight for them so that it works for the American people, so that it works for workers.
On a specific issue here, Mr. Van Hollen, and you can respond to the practicality versus pure progressive debate here, but she did mention trade deals. When it comes to international trade deals that may come before you in the Senate, what kind of measuring stick will you use to determine whether or not they're good or bad for Maryland and for Maryland lawmakers?
Well, first, Kojo, I just have to say this is more of the untruths and dishonest campaign you're hearing, and we'll go back to some of these things. My standard for looking at trade agreements has always been, is it good for the American worker? Is it good for American worker wages? And when I looked at the TPP, it was clear it did not meet that test, just like the multilateral CAFTA legislation did not meet that test. Look, when I talk to people around Maryland, people of all races, people of all genders, people of all backgrounds, they say that what's important to them is somebody who will deliver results on the issues that we all care about. And I've been there for working people, to deliver on those results from my time in the Maryland legislature and delivering again in the United States Congress. We hear from Ms. Edwards' constituents that she has not been for them, there for them. We have them calling our office when they don't get basic services. These are people whose homes have been foreclosed on. These are people like the NASA employees who came to her and were ignored. That's why in Maryland, by 4-1, Maryland elected women Democrats are supporting me in this campaign. That's why a majority of the African-American elected officials in Maryland are supporting me in this campaign, because they want somebody who will deliver results. Now, let's talk about a couple of things Ms. Edwards has talked about. When it comes to Social Security, the Baltimore Sun just concluded that her claims that I was going to cut Social Security were false. They're just false. She's making it up. Wall Street. Let me just talk about Wall Street, because she raised that in her initial comments. There's only one person here who's actually been leading the fight against Wall Street with legislation in terms of proposing to put a fee on Wall Street transactions, making sure that corporations cannot deduct CEO bonuses as part of their taxes if they're mistreating their employees. Look, I've heard Ms. Edwards has been sending out emails saying she stands with Bob Reich, the progressive economist, in taking on Wall Street. Well, guess what? Bob Reich supports me in this race because I've actually been leading the fight against Wall Street.
Tom Sherwood.
Ms. Edwards, you sound like a Bernie Sanders Democrat, but you've endorsed Hillary Clinton, who is, in fact, kind of being accused of being the establishment Democrat. How do you square that circle?
I square it because, I believe in women's leadership, and I believe that she'll make a terrific president. I also had the opportunity long before I came into Congress of working with her on issues of leadership development, political leadership development for women in the United States and around the world. And
but it doesn't was, she also
I,
have?
I had a history of working with Senator Clinton, and I feel proud of that history, and I'm proud to stand with her for this election. Look, nobody agrees with one presidential candidate or one president all the time. I've had disagreements with President Obama, and I was one of the first to endorse then-Senator Obama when he was running. Let me get back to Mr. Van Hollen's record, because I want to go from his record when he was in the legislature that he so likes to tout on criminal justice. On criminal justice, Mr. Van Hollen was a chief proponent of truth in sentencing and mandatory minimum laws, and now he's calling for criminal justice reform. It is because of legislators like him that we've seen increased incarceration rates in Maryland and across the country. Mr. Van Hollen now calls for the demilitarization of local law enforcement, but when he had the opportunity just a couple of years ago, he voted for the militarization of law enforcement. Mr. Van Hollen now calls for an end to mandatory minimums, but he was leading the charge in Annapolis and even in the House of Representatives in his early days for mandatory minimum sentences. Okay. I've been leading the charge for reform, for Pell Grant eligibility for those who are incarcerated, for wraparound services for people who have committed offense and need another chance. These are the things that matter to the people I talk to, people in communities, people who are trying to build a better lives for themselves and their families. I've walked in their shoes. I represent their interests. And I'm sorry, but Mr. Van Hollen touts all the time everything at the 30,000-foot level. This is about the way people live their lives on the ground.
I want to follow this up because Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton have been, and we're going back to the 1990s, where we're now accusing the Clinton presidency of being insensitive to African Americans. I want to get to race in this campaign also. But do you also fought Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton for the very tough crime policies that they also did in the 1990s?
Well, unfortunately,
Bill Clinton has suggested he was too tough or wrong at the
time.
Well,
let me tell you, when I worked on the Violence Against Women Act as the head of the National Network to End Domestic Violence, what I did was actually oppose any attempts to put mandatory minimums in the Violence Against Women Act. And so I have a long history of opposing mandatory minimums. And unfortunately, Mr. Van Hollen's, it's not a 1990s history. It's a 2005 and a 2013 history. And so I have to really raise questions about whether he has the capacity to deliver on criminal justice reform for real when his record says something different.
Mr. Van Hollen, you have 2 minutes now.
Well, thank you. Once again, Ms. Edwards is just misleading Maryland voters. When I was in the Maryland legislature, I was focused on violent crime, and I make a huge distinction between people who commit violent crime, like rape and murder, and nonviolent substance abuse. And in fact, I've been leading the effort for many years working with others in Congress and co-sponsoring bills for criminal justice reform at the federal level. Ms. Edwards actually has not been part of that until this election year. And even today, as we're gathered here, is not a co-sponsor of some of the major pieces of legislation on smart sentencing reform. Not even a co-sponsor of legislation to require and encourage police cameras for greater transparency. Not on those bills. I've been on those bills long before this campaign started because I believe it's a scandal in this country to have mass incarceration. And I've long argued that it's simply wrong to treat substance abuse and addiction as a criminal matter when we should be dealing with it as a health matter. And I've been part of that effort for a long time. When I was in Annapolis, I was part of the effort to pass the legislation to prohibit racial profiling when it came to traffic stops. So Ms. Edwards can try all she wants to distort my record, and she can try to pretend that she's been a leader on criminal justice reform, but the facts just don't support that. And this is a part of a continuing theme. On every issue we're talking about today, Wall Street reform, she's discovered that issue here. She still isn't leading the fight. I'm literally leading the fight on legislation to prohibit corporations from deducting CEO bonuses, leading the fight against special breaks for hedge fund managers, leading the fight against those corporations that are trying to move overseas to escape their responsibility here in the United States.
Wanted to get back to...
But this is an important, coach.
Well, the stop sign came
seconds left.
This is a continuing theme of just untruth.
Well, then my next question is to you, because I want to continue on the criminal justice issue. The riots that erupted after Freddie Gray's death last year in Baltimore may have been a reaction to an incident with police, but they've also laid in front of a national audience problems that have been festering in Baltimore for decades: poverty, lack of economic opportunity. What does the Black Lives Matter movement mean to you?
Well, I stand with the Black Lives Matter movement because it is a reflection and a crying out of these deep problems that you just mentioned, Kojo. We, of course, have the issue of confronting the need to reform police-community relations, making sure that we have accountability, making sure that we have transparency. But these issues go much deeper. They go to a broken criminal justice system, which, as I said, has led to the scandal of mass incarceration. And they go to deep poverty, which is why I've worked year after year with the Congressional Black Caucus as I put together the budget on behalf of the Democrats in the Congress to address a lot of the fundamental issues here, including making sure that every child can get a good early start in life, making sure we finally fund things like Head Start, making sure we provide more funding for our schools, making sure that we have free community college, making sure that students can graduate without this huge burden of debt over their heads, and making sure we fundamentally change a tax code which right now is stacked in favor of people who make money off of money and against people who make money through hard work and earn a paycheck. I put forward a proposal long before this campaign started to fundamentally restructure the economic relations and the tax code so it stopped favoring the top 1% and tried to build an economy that works for everybody. That's been something I've been working on for a very long time. I didn't just discover those issues. I've been leading on those issues, which is why people like Bob Reich, the leading progressive economist, have endorsed me in this race, because that is not something that came to me after Barbara Mikulski retired. So, again, I'm going to ask voters to look at the difference between rhetoric and a record. And, again, Ms. Edwards is not running on her record. She's running on rhetoric.
Donna Edwards, what does Black Lives Matter mean to you? Where do federal policies fail people who live in Baltimore right now?
First of all, I first spoke for and with the Black Lives Matter movement more than a year ago. I'm not a Johnny-come-lately. And the reason is because those are the voices of young people who need a voice at the table to fight for them for education and opportunity in their communities, to make sure that we end the scourge of mass incarceration driven by policies supported by people like Mr. Van Hollen when they had an opportunity not to support truth in sentencing, not to support mandatory minimums. And you know what? I have visited prisons and jails for the entire time that I've been in the United States House of Representatives, and what I discovered there were people who made mistakes, but when they got out, they wanted to rebuild their lives, and they wanted to do that with education and an opportunity. A young man I met in a Jessup prison named Alfonso, who's taking courses now through the Goucher College program, I introduced legislation to restore Pell Grant eligibility for people like Alfonso, precisely because I'd been visiting the prisons and jails and found that that was a need. I came into Congress working on legislation with our former colleague George Miller to make sure that student loans and Pell Grants were available to people who had committed an offense. And so I'm not a Johnny-come-lately to these issues. Long before I came into Congress, I was at a foundation that was supporting ending people who were wrongfully convicted and sentenced to death row. And so for me, the Black Lives Matter movement is a movement whose time has come for education, for opportunity, and for community building and rebuilding trust between law enforcement and local community. And you know what? When I was the head of the National Network and we passed the Violence Against Women Act, we put in provisions so that law enforcement would change their culture. That's what we need to do for Baltimore.
You're listening to a debate between the two leading candidates for the Democratic nomination for the U.S. Senate in Maryland. Donna Edwards is currently a member of the U.S. House of Representatives. She represents Maryland's 4th District. Chris Van Hollen is also a member of the U.S. House of Representatives, who represents Maryland's 8th District. You can watch live streaming video of today's debate at kojoshow.org. After the rocky rollout of Maryland's health exchange a few years ago, a lot of Marylanders still have questions about the Affordable Care Act. One of them is Ted, who submitted to us this question earlier in the week. Put on your headphones,
Hi,
please, so you can hear.
Hi, this is Ted from Chevy Chase. I'm asking about the Affordable Care Act. It was a great leap forward, but it clearly isn't perfect. I'm wondering what aspects you think require some touch-up work and what bits might require a major overhaul.
Mr. Van Hollen.
Well, thank you. I agree with your conclusion that the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, was a great leap forward. As a result of that legislation, 18 million Americans now have access to affordable care that wouldn't otherwise have it. I was proud to work very closely with the president and be recognized by the president for my work in passing that historic legislation. Like any big piece of legislation, it can be improved. I've long believed we should call for a public option, and that's something we fought for at the time, and I believe that would also help bring down costs, help bring down copays, help make it even more affordable going forward. I've been part of an effort to get rid of what is mislabeled the Cadillac tax, which is hurting many of the employer-provided, especially labor-provided, employee health benefit plans. So there are reforms we clearly need to make. The problem we've had is that Republicans have now voted over 63 times to try to repeal the Affordable Care Act. They used to say they wanted to replace and repeal. We have not yet seen one proposal to replace it. And so until they give up on their dead-end effort to get rid of it entirely, we're going to have to look for those opportunities where we find them. But I was proud to be part of an effort, again, working very closely with the president. I was assistant to the speaker at the time. And it was a hard battle because we did not have a large majority in the Congress. And it required making sure that we brought all the Democrats together to get that done.
Congresswoman Edwards, there are some who would say that Obamacare didn't go far enough, that the real goal should still be a single-payer system. What do you make of that idea?
Well, I worked really hard to make sure that we had the majorities that we needed to pass the Affordable Care Act. I was proud to be a part of that. And when I saw a thing that was missing, really at the 11th hour, that we had not really done what we needed to hold insurance companies accountable, I went to our leadership, went to each one of our committee chairmen, worked with them to create a provision that holds insurance companies accountable by preventing unjustifiable health increases. And just this past fall, the Maryland Health Insurance Commission commissioner announced that they used the provision that I wrote to save Maryland Maryland consumers $66.6 million in 2016 alone. And that is the way you make progress work. It's not at the 30,000-foot level. It's understanding from the perspective of the consumer what consumers need to lower their cost.
What's your view of the single payer idea?
And so I think I've supported a public option as a new next step for the Affordable Care Act. In fact, I voted for that.
Public option is the same thing as single payer.
Well, I voted for the public option in the Congressional Black Caucus budget, and it's in the Congressional Black Caucus budget this year as well. Mr. Van Hollen can speak as to whether it's in his budget, and I've supported. Repeal of the Cadillac tax, as Mr. Van Hollen has, that it does a great disservice to, particularly to our friends in labor who negotiated their benefits, and they ought to have the benefit of that that negotiation. With any big bill, we can always move forward, but I think we have to use the Affordable Care Act as a baseline for making this health care system work better, deliver services, and at a low cost to consumers. And we have to negotiate prescription drug prices. We can't leave that out because that is one of the principal drivers of increases in health care.
I want to go back to an overarching issue here. I was at this morning having a meeting with my editors, with Lonnie Bunch of the African American Museum, and plans to open in September. I want to address race in this campaign. Ms. Edwards, you are leading in your home ward, which is one of the largest well-educated black constituents in America. You're doing well. Mr. Van Hollen, you're doing well in Montgomery County. You're fighting over Baltimore County and Baltimore City. Ms. Edwards is a black woman. Is that a criticism of Van Hollen for being a white guy? And Mr. Van Hollen, where does race play in a role in this as you as a white guy?
First, Mr. Van Hollen.
In this divisive time.
Look, I'm fighting for every vote. And throughout my time in public life, I have always focused on trying to make sure America lives up to the promise of equal rights and equal justice and equal opportunity. And we've come a long way, but we all know we have a very long way to go, which is why I fought during my time in the state legislature for the Thornton Commission legislation to make sure that we boosted funding for Maryland schools and that funds went to schools that were most in need. In fact, one of the reasons I'm strongly supported by a majority of the state legislators from Prince George's County is I've delivered on education and delivered on things that are important to every Marylander. Now, as I said, when I talk to people across the state, regardless of race, regardless of gender, what they're looking for is someone who can deliver results on the issues we care about. We're losing Senator Barbara Mikulski, who was very focused on every part of Maryland and making sure every part of Maryland succeeds, and also focused on results. She had a constituent service operation that was there for people when they needed her. And it is very troubling. Ms. Edwards is known for having an office that's, quote, notorious for its lack of constituent services, because these are the people that Ms. Edwards is talking about that she's been representing for 8 years who come to that office in time of need, when they may be having trouble getting a Social Security check, when they may be troubled with a foreclosure. And the reality is they haven't been there at that important time. So you ask a fundamental question. And the answer that I'm getting from Maryland voters is they want someone like Senator Mikulski who's there for them and delivers results. And I will be there for them. And, again, one of the reasons Ms. Edwards is not running on a record is she hasn't been.
Well, Ms. Edwards, on the race issue, you promote? Well, just go ahead. You answer the question. You know the question.
Look, I think race does matter. We're in an important time in the history of this country. And, you know, when Senator Mikulski ran, she was the first woman elected on her own to the United States Senate, a former social worker to fight for all of Maryland families. And I think we have an important bit of history to cover in this race as well. And I'm wearing a necklace that has Sojourner Truth and Harriet Tubman on it. It was given to me by one of my colleagues, given to her by Marion Wright Edelman. And I think it, in a state that is the home base of Harriet Tubman, that it's really important for us to recognize that there are some significant gaps in the United States Senate, and that as a black woman, only one woman of color in the United States Senate, and only 20% of the United States Senate are women. And I think it's time that we had the ability to speak for ourselves on education, on health care, on equal pay for equal work, on rebuilding trust in our communities with law enforcement. Our voices and our perspectives are really needed in the United States Senate. And that's not to take anything away from Mr. Van Hollen. But the fact is, if you look at our voting records are very, very similar. But the question is, who's going to have the perspective and the voice of ordinary working people who need their voice in the United States Senate? And so race should never be a determinant factor. But I think it is a consideration as voters go to the polls. And I look forward to representing Marylanders, no matter where it is that they live in the state, no matter what neighborhood they come from, and trying to assure that no matter what zip code you live in, you get a good education and you're able to succeed in our economy.
You both invoke the name of the individual you're seeking to replace, Senator Barbara McCaughey, one of the region's fiercest advocates. She also used her position to hold the area's transit system, Metro, accountable in the wake of major safety incidents. Metro took the unprecedented step this week of shutting down rail service for 29 hours on a workday to conduct safety inspections. What do you see as your potential role in the Senate to ensure that the Metro system functions as well as it can for the region? And what do you think is an appropriate role for Metro's federal partners in making sure that this is a safe, dependable system, Mr. Van Hollen?
Well, clearly the system has been broken. This has been a chronic problem, and the most recent closure of the Metro is just the most recent example. We now have a new general manager, and it is the job of members of Congress to make sure that we oversee somebody. It's good to have somebody on the Metro side who is now accountable. Look, I was part of an effort many years ago, a bipartisan effort, working with Congressman Tom Davis from Virginia and others, to get the first federal investment of $150 million a year in Metro. I'm fighting every year to protect that federal investment, because the last thing we need to do at a time that Metro is in trouble is shortchange them once again, when we in fact need to be modernizing our infrastructure, not just for Metro, not just throughout the region, but throughout the United States of America. And I put forward specific proposals as part of our budget to modernize our Metro system by closing some of the tax breaks that companies use and are encouraged to move overseas, close those tax breaks, and invest right here at home. But I do think the fact that we got the $150 million to begin with was an important effort of bipartisan work. And, you know, just last Congress, there was a nonpartisan independent group that looked at, you know, people who were willing to work with others. And Ms. Edwards was dead last among Democrats, among people who were willing to work across party lines to get things done. And if we want to get things done like Senator McCaughey, we're going to need people who are willing to work together.
Ms. Donna Edwards, as you consider your response to that question, since we're talking about transportation, just give a listen to a question we got ahead of today's debate from Marcus, who wants to know about infrastructure also.
Maryland's transit infrastructure is not very impressive. This is most evident when looking at how disjointed Baltimore's subway, bus, and light rail system are. While there have been calls to build more rail and more commuter bus lines and increase capacity on current rail systems across the state, a common barrier is the inability to fund these expensive endeavors. As of now, what would you consider a priority to improve our state's transit infrastructure? And as a senator, how would you secure federal funding so Maryland may improve its transit systems in coming years?
Congresswoman Edwards.
Well, first, following the Red Line disaster in here in the metropolitan Washington region, I joined with Senator McCaughey to act on one of the recommendations from the National Transportation Safety Board to improve Metro safety. And I think that's why we got the new cars that are now incorporated into the line. But we have to develop a culture of safety within Metro. And I think the new general manager is working toward that. But we also have the nation's transportation system here in the metropolitan Washington region, and it's important for the Congress to understand that it is, in fact, the nation's transportation system. When Metro doesn't work, it impacts the federal government. That impacts all taxpayers across the country. I also joined on my transportation and infrastructure committee in making sure that Metro had the capacity, that the Highway Administration had the capacity in the absence of action by Metro to make certain that that it would be able to oversee the system. And so we've had some transition from the Highway Administration, the Department of the Highway Administration, to oversee these changes that need to be made within Metro. I also really led the charge on our transportation committee to ensure that we incorporated both the red line in Baltimore and the purple line in Prince George's and Montgomery County into our transportation authorization. I think it is absolutely ridiculous that that Governor Hogan rejected $900 million that was available for red line development. I would like to see that at least put into bus rapid transit so we can improve the transit system in Baltimore.
As time runs down, I'm going to ask you all to keep your responses to 1 minute for the rest of the broadcast.
Well, economic development is a huge issue for infrastructure improvement, but you just mentioned the purple line. But the FBI is trying to, Barbara Mikulski, she really hopes this December, I think the decision might be made, but you're trying to get the FBI 11,000 jobs to Prince George's County. The Purple Line, the Governor Hogan said he supported it and then cut over $500 million from state funding for it. How, as an outsider, first, Ms. Edwards, how do you work those levers of power to get people to do what you want to do with these major projects that an insider, which I think you're accusing Mr. Van Hollen of being an insider, might be able to do because of his connections?
1 minute.
Well, on transportation, I mean, on our transportation committee, I've worked really hard to make sure that the FBI remains a focus within our economic development subcommittee of transportation. I've worked very closely with Senator Mikulski to make sure that we stay on track for that. I've been one of the principal supporters in Prince George's County for bringing the FBI headquarters to Prince George's County. I worked on legislation to enable us with Barbara Comstock in Virginia, a Republican, to enable us to do transit, to do development around our transit stations, which is really important to Prince George's County in terms of economic development. Did that across party lines in our last transportation authorization. And I think, you know, I think it's important to find ways without trading away your principles to be able to work on these issues. I've proven that time and time again, whether it's on transportation, on science, bringing historically Black colleges and universities and STEM education. And I've done that in a number of areas. And so Mr. Van Hollen is completely off base and really does a great disservice to us both and to certainly to my record when he says that.
Mr. Van Hollen.
Well, look, these are very important investments in making our state and our region strong, these transportation investments. One of the first things I did as a member of Congress was get the Purple Line designated as a New START program before Ms. Edwards was in Congress, and have worked consistently over time to make sure the president's the funding was there, including most recently working with the president to provide the funding in the budget. With respect to the FBI, that's a really important investment. Senator Mikulski did a great job lining up the money. Senator Mikulski and I were recently with Governor Hogan. Governor Hogan called a meeting to discuss the FBI building, the Purple Line, other important transportation projects. Ms. Edwards decided not to make the meeting. She apparently was in Hollywood in California at
the
time.
She was on the Bill Maher show.
She was it was more important to be out in California on the Bill Maher show or whatever, rather than being in a meeting with Senator Mikulski and discussing the Purple Line. So when people say that Ms. Edwards doesn't pay a lot of attention to local projects and local issues, That's an example.
Can we have a response?
30 seconds.
Absolutely. I mean, one, I've met with Governor Hogan multiple times over these issues. And in fact, just this last week, Mr. Van Hollen was not at a meeting with Governor Hogan on the FBI consolidation and into Prince George's County. My staff was definitely at that meeting that you described. But this is just kind of ridiculous. You know, Mr. Van Hollen likes to say that I'm not present. I've been present on the FBI. I've been present on Metro. I've been present on issues of economic development for Prince George's County. And I defy anyone any day to challenge
me. We've reached the point where each of you gets the opportunity to make a one-minute closing statement. First, you, Congressman Van Hollen.
Well, thank you. And again, I want to thank the listeners for tuning in, because this is the first opportunity we've had to really meet face-to-face. And the reality is that Maryland voters deserve the truth about our records. And what they've been hearing from the Edwards campaign, whether it relates to Social Security, whether it relates to Wall Street or these other issues, has been simply false. In fact, when it comes to Wall Street reform, when it comes to protecting Social Security and Medicare, I've been on the front lines. I was asked by our Republican colleagues. I was asked by Leader Nancy Pelosi to take on these fights, and I've led these fights. So it's interesting now that we're in a campaign season, watching emails fly back and forth to see Ms. Edwards engaged. I wish she would join me in co-sponsoring some of the legislation so she would actually get some of this work done. Again, as I said at the outset, Senator Mikulski focused on getting results, not rhetoric. And I'm also focused on results, and that's what the people of Maryland deserve.
Congresswoman Edwards.
I'm very proud of my record of service to the people of the 4th Congressional District, and I'm asking them for their votes and their support to build on the legacy of fighting for working families of Senator Barbara Mikulski. When we fought together to save over 200 jobs in Hyattsville at the IRS, I joined with Senator Mikulski to do that. When we fought together to make sure that we had a metro system that worked for us, I joined with Senator Mikulski to do that. And so I'm really proud of my record of service. I look forward to continuing that fight for workers who need paid leave, for small businesses that want to grow and develop, for young women who want to be paid the same as a man doing the same job, and for seniors and veterans who deserve their elected officials to protect their Social Security and Medicare from harmful cuts without trading them away and without cutting a deal on their behalf with the special interest who would take their jobs away.
Tom Sherwood.
I have a closing
statement. You don't. You're not running for anything. Donna Edwards, thank you so much for joining us. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Chris Van Hollen, thank you so much for joining us. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Thank you all for listening. I'm Kojo Nandi.
WAMU 88.5 is your listener-supported NPR news station in the greater Washington, D.C. region. You can support the Kojo Namdi Show and all the regional coverage you value by becoming a member today. Click the donate button at WAMU.org, and thanks.